Now Taz is dominating the audio world with his award-winning human podcast machine.
Welcome!
Hey, this is the Fantasy Draft Edition.
I love this reaction show.
For the celebrity edition of HPM.
The human podcast machine.
Try to keep up.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
This is Taz, the human podcast machine.
You know that might have to change, right? The whole controversy by the one fan. You know what I'm talking about?
No. Maybe. Which one?
I don't know. This some guy yesterday was going crazy on Twitter on me that I'm not a three-time world champion. And, you know, I don't know. What is a world champion? Like, what makes a championship a world championship? I'm just curious what you think, Seth.
It's a title that's referred to as a world championship.
So it's just referred to as a world championship. Now, you're not on a witness stand here. I'm going to ask you a series of questions here.
I'm going to put my right hand up.
No.
Your name.
Seriously, as a wrestling fan to you, what does a world championship mean? You know, seriously.
You know, I mean, obviously some are more prestigious than others. Like, I would think the WWE World Heavyweight Championship is more prestigious than TNA World Heavyweight Championship, but just as a fan.
Right.
But they're still, I still recognize them as world championships.
That part I disagree with what you just said. I think that any singles World Heavyweight Championship, the top of the heap champion, no matter if it's Ring of Honor, WWE, NXT, TNA, during the ECW days, WCW, AWA, all that stuff.
You're the number one guy at your place.
Right, you're the top guy. Now, what about tag teams? When it's a world tag team championship, what does that mean?
That means you're the tag team champions of the world.
Right. So if we had, when we had D-Von Dudley on, or Bully Ray, or Bubba Ray Dudley, I should have referred to each of those gentlemen, or Matt Hardy when he was on, as whatever, the Dudleys, I think, a 26-time or 25-time world champs, right?
Something like that.
So I should have said, hey, D-Von, 25-time world heavyweight champion. Would someone have thrown a flag if I would have said that?
Some wackadoodle on Twitter.
Mike. Right, yeah. Exactly. Which sometimes, you know me, like, I'll ignore them most of the times, but if there's that one moment, I have that moment where I need to give them that 15 minutes of just complete. And then a lot of times, like, my followers and fans on Twitter or supporters will start guzzling a guy up. But I was the ECW world champion.
I remember.
Two times. Now, the FTW championship. Now, what is that? Unrecognized, right? Because that's what ECW said.
Yeah, you founded that.
Don't be afraid. Just say it.
It's your belt that you made
exactly.
In the garage.
I didn't make it in the garage. Well, kind of the first one I did. The second one was a lot of money. TNA. How am I doing? ECW made the second one. It was a lot of money, that belt. You know, it was. It was kind of like what Ted DiBiase initially did with the $1 million belt, but we took it a whole nother level. You know what I mean? Like, really. So I looked at it like it was a real championship to me, the FTW championship. In my crazy brain, maybe because it's my gimmick, but because someone else besides me held the championship. Really. And that someone was Sabu. So, you know, so I don't know. Does that make it a world championship when someone else holds it besides you? Yeah, probably not. Does it make it a world championship because a company says, okay, this is our world championship? Okay, so that's just like one guy or committee saying this thing's a title. Okay, what? Or I've always felt too, well, a world championship should be a championship that is defended, you know, all around the world or outside of the region that you normally work in.
Sure.
So I'm an American. So if I'm a champion and I'm the FTW champion and I'm in ECW and it's 98, and then I go to Japan. And I go to England, and I go to Dublin, and I defend the FTW championship. Now, that didn't happen. But I defend the FTW championship. Will it then be deemed a world title?
You'd be an argument with FTW because you were working for ECW, and they had a world championship.
You just won't give me that credit on that FTW title.
Huh?
You won't.
You're asking for a fan's opinion. I thought it was cool.
I got
everything.
News for you, G-Spot. Most of the people that are supporters, I know, are fans. They love the FTW championship more than any of them, as far as the people that follow me.
I didn't say I didn't love it. I'm just saying.
The best one, because it was a rebel... against the establishment gimmick championship.
It's funny because I got to know you, and you're not like that person at all. It's you're very
not now.
Nice and quiet.
I know.
And humble and very thick skinned.
I am.
Yeah. So it's funny to see you go back, and you really were like incredible the way you turned that on.
Well, I don't want to. So, but here's the thing. So what? So because CBS puts together a open 8 months ago, and it says 3-time world champion, I got one guy throwing a flag on me. Yeah, but that some people...
He's a stickler.
But now, hold on a minute, though. But what about all the world tag team titles I've held with other partners?
A bunch of them, right?
I don't even know, man. At least three or four. Three? WWF or WWE, once with Spike. In ECW, at least two times, maybe three. I don't remember. I don't pay attention to this stuff as much as it sounds like I do, because I really don't. But I don't know. I got annoyed at the fan on Twitter only because I felt like, well, who the hell are you that I need to explain myself or my accomplishments, you know? And you know, you just come at me like that. But that's Twitter, right? That's what people do on Twitter.
Call them keyboard cowboys.
Yeah, I like that, actually. I mean, I could never go on there and go after an NFL player and say, you know, hey, Adrian Peterson, you only had, whatever, 300 yards in the past five games, whatever. You know,
unless it cost you your fantasy week. I mean, all those fantasy people, like, threaten players. You suck. You dropped the ball.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And this Wednesday, we will, speaking of fantasy, you know, fantasy draft is back, bro, FDE. Fantasy draft edition right here with myself carrying the ship along with Tanae and the jobber here, the KFJ. Word. Bro, you're getting really, you are so over Seth on Twitter. I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of star power you have.
Star power, yes.
And you are the co-host of the Taz Show that's debuting September 14th. Live.
I read that somewhere.
A daily show. Yeah, I read that too. Wasn't like it was anything official, a press release. Yeah. So are you the co-host of my show? I'm just wondering.
I'm the co-host of something.
You're not.
No.
I'll tell you what. I don't care what they put on the paper, you're not. And I'm going to deal with you on that with other people involved.
Other people?
Oh, there's going to be other people involved. Who? On the air.
Who?
Oh, don't worry, homeboy. Don't worry about it.
I know one person's not going to be.
Who?
Vic Tabak.
What are you... Okay.
He will not be involved.
Go ahead, because I saw the tweet and I responded to the tweet. That was hilarious. The fan said to me about... Yeah, tell the story.
Oh, just for people who don't, I might not go back that far. So, somebody tweeted out a picture of Vic Tabak, who is the actor who played Mel, who worked at Mel's Diner,
Mel's
show
Diner.
Alice.
Well, he was Mel, right?
He was Mel.
He was the cook. Yeah.
But the show was called Alice.
Old school, dude.
Old like back school in the sitcom. I think like four or five seasons. It was hot back in the day. It flow. Kiss
it
my
was.
Grits.
Kiss my grits.
Vera. Yeah. I remember the names of the waitresses.
Yeah, of course.
And he just was yelling at her and angry all the time.
Yeah, he was angry. Vic Tabak.
The only difference between the two of you is he had a heart of gold.
Wait a minute. So a lovely fan on Twitter sent a picture of Vic Tabak and said to me, now I know where the Taz gimmick came from. I was hysterical.
Was
I
great.
Think I did that.
He nailed it.
He did nail it. He did nail
As
it.
As our friend Al Dukes would say, nailed it.
Al Dukes. Yes, Al Dukes. On the internet. So,
Yeah, I heard you got a show on the internet.
Yeah, I know. Yes. Yeah, on Boomer and Carton, going on there. Announced. They give me the platform to announce the debut of the Taz show for September 14th. And then they keep hitting the gimmick on me on the internet. On the internet. They kept hitting the button. That's a long story.
On the internet.
For those that heard, on the internet. That's it. Yeah,
they're kind of,
I text Al afterwards. I text him that sentence. He just started cracking up.
Nice.
I said, on the internet.
On the internet.
But that's where everything's going, right? So that's what the Taz show, digital. I mean, you could watch us, watch me, watch Seth once we get rolling after a couple of weeks after September 14th.
Trailblazer.
And yeah, no, but really, I mean, that's the thing.
That for our company, we've never done anything like this. So.
I appreciate it. And I appreciate the company using me as a guinea pig. So
I'd make a guinea pig noise. I don't think they make noises.
But I'm kind of a high paid guinea pig.
Congratulations! Like, yeah. Why, I know. You stand in your wallet. You're 6'6". Stop throwing the money stuff around.
What are
right?
you talking about? I didn't throw nothing around.
Yeah, I'm a high paid. All right.
I never said nothing. Why are you saying
did.
Something like that for?
You just said it. I'm a high paid guinea pig.
Yeah, maybe I did.
Well, I guess guinea pigs you would be.
No,
right?
Because it's not nice that I have to refer to myself as a guinea pig.
And plus, you know,
you said the PC.
You're insulting your own heritage as well.
What does that mean?
Guinea pig.
Oh, you are a racist. That's unbelievable.
I'm a racist.
So, you said trailblazer. I mean, and that's a PC way of saying guinea pig. No, no, it's not. I'm joking. I'm teasing about the whole thing. But it's exciting, man, because it's different.
How many guys who are former pro wrestlers have are doing a daily two-hour show focusing mostly on wrestling?
I would say nil.
So that is the definition of trailblazer, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully people listen to it and like it. Otherwise, it'll just flop. But it should go pretty good. I think that it's going to be interesting because of the video element. No one's really talking about that, but that's pretty cool. The video element of it adds a whole new dynamic. So
it's going to be awesome.
Hence why we're not in the regular studio we're normally in.
A little
periscope on that.
Can I talk about that?
Sure, go. Of course, it's your show.
Yeah, right. Next year I'm gonna. Yeah,
no reason to worry about the audio and what the levels. Just worry about you and your creative performance.
You gotta bring it down a little bit. You're a little hot.
Yeah,
We're getting the studio ready for the Taz show. We're setting up a video and everything. So on Friday we stripped down the studio and moved it to another office. So you know we came in this morning and. Trying to make everything work.
It would have been nice if someone would have told me. I walk in the friggin' room and there's nothing in there. It's destroyed.
He started having a Taz attack. I'm told. Who left the email? I'm gonna call somebody.
Call somebody. You know. But then you guys.
Yeah, I wasn't doing Outlaws.
No, but Seth, you did a good thing. You hooked up this studio here on a different floor in the building.
Shout out to Kenny for that.
Kenny, my man, Kenny. Thank you. And. Hopefully this is a CBS Florida one. We're on another CBS.
No, we're E-Trade actually.
E-Trade.
So if you need some stock tips.
Nah, this is a pretty good studio. This is not bad. I'm pretty happy with it.
We're losing weight in here.
So yeah, no, it's hot. There's no doubt about it. It's hot
in the corporate world. The air doesn't kick on till like 9 a.m.
Yeah,
so we're here early in the morning.
That's a problem because my corporate world is going to start at 7 a.m. with the Taz show daily. So
we should call it the sweatshop.
Yeah,
instead.
The sweatshop. Well, speaking of hot, you want to talk about hot? Let's talk about my crew over at Adorama, bro. Adorama.com/tradeup. Before you visit, before you just go check out Adorama.com before you buy anything. Check out my boy, Aaron the Mensch.
My boy. That's my boy.
That's your boy.
That's not your boy. That's my boy. Yeah.
The biggest event of the summer. It's the Dell Computer Windows 10 Trade-Up Extravaganza. That's right. Oh, it's big time, bro. Trade deadline may have passed, but not at Adorama, man. Save $100, bro. Save $100 bill. Save some cabbage. Save whatever you want to call it. It's $100 at the end of the day. When you upgrade any old notebook or desktop computer to the new Dell computer with Windows 10 powered by Intel. Bro, these guys at Adorama are good, Seth. They really are.
They hook you up.
They do hook you up. And I'm telling you right now, they, like they say, right, have the Mensch's gun, my sugar. Now, how's my Yiddish, bro?
That's good, dude.
It's unbelievable.
All those years of pastrami and corned beef, really.
I love a good Jewish deli, bro. There's no lie about that. I don't lie about that. But just look, man, hurry. Before these guys come to their senses, your boy Aaron the Mensch, before he starts thinking, hey, I'm not going to give these people the deals no more, get over to Adorama. It's located at 42 West 18th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues right here in the heart of New York City or online at Adorama.com. Adorama, much more than a camera store. That's Adorama.com/tradeup. Telling you, you ought to bring some of these microphones in there, trade them in, and get some new ones. I'm not happy with this microphone.
An orange and black microphone.
Well, now that you're talking, that's a pretty good idea, actually. Not bad.
Has the Taz show got my sugar?
So here's the topic that I want to discuss in this particular show, and I put out a little tweet-a-rooney about it yesterday, last night.
A tweet-a-rooney?
And it's basically the dangers of you know, being a professional wrestler, and not the dangers that some might think as far as being in the ring and taking bumps or getting hit with a weapon or a chair or getting clotheslined in your face or getting suplexed on your head or pile driver or something like that. The dangers that, believe it or not, the public, the consumer, the customer, the fans can give and bring to you. So, obviously, I'm talking about what happened with WWE superstar Dean Ambrose at the SmackDown taping last week in Providence, Rhode Island. After the show, and the video's online, you could watch it.
It's disturbing, actually.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it pisses me off because I've witnessed this in person. I've had it happen to me, and I've witnessed it with other guys. I've witnessed this as an announcer But what happened, for those that don't know, and you could find it online, he was just, Dean Ambrose was just shaking people's hands, whatever, as he was going down the aisleway, leaving the match. It looked like he was done working. He was sweaty and all this stuff. And some guy just jumps the guardrail. I think he had like a tie-dye shirt on, if I remember correctly, which was weird. He had a shirt that would stand out. And there were reports that he had a knife or some kind of a sharp...
A couple fans said that
he had... Yeah, don't know how true that is, but...
Well, those psychos, you know, it only takes one psycho, right?
He literally put his hand on Dean Ambrose to spin him around, and before Dean Ambrose could defend himself, the WWE security... Now, I don't know if it was the building security or WWE security, and I'll get into that in a minute, because a lot of people don't understand the difference with the wrestling company security and the building security, because it's two different teams.
Sure.
A lot of people don't know that. But
as a fan, I would just guess that the building security is kind of these guys just hired to work there. I think I've worked security at football games.
Well, wait. WWE You.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't.
Wait. Slow down, champ.
All right.
Slow down, Aaron. Slow down, my mensch friend.
I'm going Michigan right now.
You're going Michigan. You were security. Someplace. Was it like
Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Was it a kiddie pool? Where were you security?
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The football team, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yes, correct. In the stadium.
You were protecting the football players.
No, I was in the stadium.
And you were protecting the beer.
I was watching the game and getting paid $5 an hour. That's what
I
was doing.
Were you protecting the Dr. Brown's Diet Black Cherry Soda?
Are they a new sponsor? What happened?
You know Dr. Brown.
That's good stuff. No.
Yeah, I know you know.
Look at the vanilla one, too. What is it?
Yeah, good stuff. Cream.
Yeah.
So what happens is your security somewhere, and that's why the Buccaneers lose all the time, because you're security.
Once I left, they start. Well, Vinny Testaverde wasn't helping at the time.
Dude, let me tell you something. You should not be securing anything.
No kidding. I saw guys fighting. It's 80 degrees. Guys are drunk. Like two 250-pound guys are fighting. You think I'm getting in between for $5 an hour? You kidding me? I turn my back.
Attaboy.
Get out of here.
Way to go.
So that's what I'm thinking. The difference, I think WWE security can probably handle themselves.
Oh, yeah, no, they can. And we'll get into this in a minute. But so what happens is this fan goes to grab Dean Ambrose, spin him around. I don't know. You never know what he was going to do. The kid might have been drunk. He might have been looking to hug Dean Ambrose. He might have been looking to punch him, smack him. Maybe he had a weapon. Who knows what he was looking to do? It doesn't matter.
Jump over a barricade. That's a no-no.
Yeah. So. The security, WWE security that was next to Dean Ambrose, which I'm about 99.9% sure it was an actual WWE security person because he was so physically close to Dean Ambrose. The building security, to your point, Seth, is in the arena area. Okay. So this security guard basically just, it was more like a version of like a Uranagi or an Osotogari, which is, he collar tied the guy, for those that have ever competed in martial arts or wrestled. You wrestled. You know what a collar tie is.
Sure.
He collar tied the guy, grabbed him like around his neck and trap just as an instinct, and looked like he swept his leg, lifted him a little bit, dumped him on his back hard.
It was a little guy. It looked like a little guy.
I don't know how big he was. I'm just saying.
The guy who came out, he picked him up like a rag doll.
It was a tremendous takedown. It was awesome.
Two points.
It was definitely 2 points. So I thought it was very well done. I mean, and it was good. And Dean Ambrose did what you're instructed to do in the WWE. Just leave it alone and laugh about it because security handled it. Which, I got to tell you, is the toughest thing to do.
He did it well, too.
He did it well because you want to just destroy a guy when he does that to you, a fan, no matter what.
Of course.
So, I've seen this. I've had this happen to me. Similar stuff, I mean, in Hamburg, Pennsylvania, back years ago. In Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania. You know, a guy, you know, in Hamburg, let me back up. It was many, many years ago, and I was working for IWCCW, the Savoldis. And I believe it was after the match, and it was actually the Tasmaniacs, me and Joe Chetty, Chris Chetty's elder brother. Joe had a very short run. Those that are real fans know, remember the Tasmaniacs. And he was Joe was a very credible, tremendous amateur wrestler and a judo player, awesome football player, played a little pro football for a while, but was a running back for the Bills, I think the Eagles too.
That's impressive.
You know, like during the scab years and stuff like that, but still, he did well. You know, he was a really tremendous athlete. Tough, nasty guy. So what happens is, so a fan just, you know, we were heels, and this was years ago, dude. This had to be, I don't know, God, 1980, 89, something like that. And fan like just reached out and grabbed my hair and then kind of like pushed at Joe's face, and then we did what we had to do. And this guy, there was just a small guardrail. We had no security. See, so when these smaller shows, especially years ago, there was really not a lot of security.
High schools and stuff like
that,
right?
Yeah, but this was at the Hamburg Fieldhouse. So Hamburg, for those real WWF fans back in the day. So Seth, when you used to watch Bruno Sammartino and Billy Graham and Chief J. Strongbo, Vince McMahon was the announcer, you know.
Sure.
All that years and years ago, Bob Backlund, Larry Zbysko. They
Ken,
used to do
Ken Patera.
Tons of TV tapings in Allentown, Pennsylvania and Hamburg, Pennsylvania. Okay, these were like big, giant, old armories or field houses, whatever you want to call them. They were the coolest buildings with the greatest fans in that area of Pennsylvania. And it had such a wrestling tradition and history because of the WWF. And the Savoldis and some other wrestling companies after that would do wrestling shows there, which was smart because the fans loved the business.
Sure.
And it was great for TVs because you'd do 3-4 weeks of TVs, boom, right there. So these were not high school gyms, but I get your point. So, you know, we did what we had to do. I'll just leave it at that. And then we had to basically get in the car and leave because that's how it was back then. Because, you know, if the cops come, like, you don't know what's going to happen, right? So
sure.
you're defending yourself. That's all we did. We just defended ourselves.
I mean, I'm sure that you took care of business, but if this guy got, like, you know, seriously hurt.
No.
You would have heard.
No, he didn't get seriously hurt. He didn't get seriously hurt.
You just
his buddy might have, but he didn't. it's a whole nother story. But no, because see, because
you guys are easy to track down.
There's a lot
wrestlers.
To say. Yeah, well, there's a lot to say about this. I won't say everything about these type of situations. There was another situation during ECW. I was working in Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, which those real hardcore ECW fans remember Jim Thorpe. You know, it was just like a just dump on top of a mountain and the suburbs outside of Philadelphia, and Jim Thorpe, and we used to work there all the time, Friday night house shows usually, before TVs in Philly. We had a lot of fun there. We had a lot of great shows, and if it rained hard, you had to worry about the building falling off the mountain, which I heard that's how the building is gone because it did fall off the mountain. I'm not kidding you, dude.
It'd be interesting to have a King of the Mountain match.
Yeah. And I remember this distinctly. We actually had security, ECW security, which was Atlas Security, which actually is great security. They do a lot of stuff for TNA the past several years, and they did all of TNA stuff. I'm sorry, ECW stuff. If you ever see, you know, ECW stuff, the big dudes in the black suits with the black turtlenecks, like a yellow embroidered logo on the neck of the turtleneck. I think it says Atlas or something in gold or yellow. That's Atlas Security. Big guy Ron is the owner of it, and they are the best. And besides WWE, Atlas is great. Anyway, during these W years, Atlas, Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, there were some of the Atlas guys were there working security, and they can't always get everybody. And the guardrails, this would freak me out because the guardrails would squeeze in because the building was so tight. And so you're walking down the aisle, there's guardrails, but as a fan, you could just reach out and be 3 inches away from me and just, like, punch me in the face or take a knife and stab me. You know, it's that close.
I remember watching the shows. Watching all the TVs.
But Paul loved that because, you know, it made it for the intensity of it, the intimacy. That's the word for the intimacy of it. And that's what made ECW. But he also was concerned about the safety because Paul always wanted everybody safe. Well, this one fan, he didn't do nothing horrible to me. Well,
it just sounds funny to say, Paul, I want everybody safe, and I believe you. But
I
believe you. But when watching ECW and the crazy crap you guys did in the stands, in with the fans, and
dude,
off balconies.
98% of the stuff he didn't tell anyone to do. It was just the guys doing their own thing.
Right. I'm just saying that. It's just like, you know.
Now, he didn't say, hey, please don't ever do that again. He didn't do that. You know, but he didn't tell no one to do that. You know, guys were crazy.
I'm just saying, it was you guys were all nuts.
So anyway, so what happens is this fan, this young man was obviously, he had several beers, and he takes my towel off my head as I'm walking down the aisle, rips it off my head, and runs while he's in the audience. I think I told the story somewhere on here. Man, I do a Taz tale. I don't remember if I ever told this.
You may have mentioned it. I don't think you did a Taz tale about it.
Well, though. I jumped the guardrail, and I went into the sea of humanity, as the great, late, great Gorilla Monsoon would say. I went into the sea of humanity and chased this guy down in the stands.
For your towel.
I swear, for your towel. Oh, I got him. Yeah, so, and I got my towel.
Do you still have that same towel?
No, yeah, I actually do. Yeah, I gave it to Cesaro. I borrowed it from Suzuki and then gave it to Cesaro.
That was nice of you.
Yeah, so, you know, I basically was like a la Lawrence Taylor back in the day. I mean, I really just put my right arm over him, just completely tackled him, drove him into the ground. And, I, you know, security was behind me running. I was sprinting after this guy. People were running out of the way. This kid was running full speed.
You probably knocked some people down. And
I got the towel. I didn't hit the kid or nothing like that. I just tackled him. I didn't. And I cursed him out. And then security, you know, took him. And that was in Jim Thorpe.
You were totally in character.
Yeah, I was. I mean, another independent show I did before ECW years ago in Fall River, Massachusetts. Similar situation where I was in a tag team match and a guy got, my partner got punched in the back. I don't remember the guy's name. He got punched in the back of the head. We were like young green guys. And he turned around and just completely punched the fan right back in the face and knocked the dude straight out cold.
That couldn't have been fun for that person.
No. I mean, as a SmackDown announcer, well, let me back up. Another time, actually in Altoona, Pennsylvania, for ECW.
It's a great name of a town.
It's outside of Pittsburgh.
I picture Finkel saying it.
Yeah,
Altoona.
Well, that's another town that they used to
do the shows.
I'm trying to remember now. So fans out there, please tweet me if you know the answer, because I know Seth doesn't know.
No.
There was a guy, an enhancement talent for the WWF, but he was getting pushed for a little while, I think. I'm going to mess up his name. JT Petrucci.
Salvatore Bellomo?
Oh, God, Seth, please.
Quick Draw McGraw.
That's why you got heat, dude. Because you see, that's why. No, I have loyal fans that are enthusiasts for the business, and you're going to play ha-ha.
I'm not playing ha-ha. These guys are actual enhancement talents for WWF.
Salvatore Bellomo was enhancement talent.
No, he was a little step above.
Okay.
You don't remember?
I got to be honest. I don't agree with anything you say ever.
Okay.
How about that?
That's fine.
So, no.
Fair enough.
What's the guy's name? JT, do you have the internets here?
Some of it.
Because the makeshift studio, we don't have the internet. CBS Radio, phone. We can't get online. Petrucci, P-E-T, Trucci. Anyway,
what?
I think he was from Altoona, Pennsylvania. I'm really getting off the rails here. But just check that out. So anyway, there was an incident in the parking lot there where I was actually leaving the building with Atlas Security, and it was intermission. I was getting out of there because it was actually my wedding anniversary, and I was with my wife, and we were going to dinner, and Paul put me on early. He said, hey, go have dinner with your wife. You're in Pennsylvania, whatever. Boom. And his fan's like, hey, can I get an autograph? I said, yeah, sure. And I signed the thing. And I keep walking. He's like, no, can you sign this? I go, dude, I got to go. And security's kind of pushing back. And he starts cursing me out in front of my wife.
Oh.
And I turn around, and I get in his face. I go, dude, you need to chill out. And security was threatened, like, to hurt him. And the guy takes a swing at me.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did. And
first he wants you to sign stuff.
Then he curses me out, and then he takes a swing at me.
And you would have ignored the cursing if your wife wasn't there, or you would have been...
If my wife wasn't there, I wouldn't have cared, yeah. And now you're throwing a punch. I slip the punch, and then I finished what I had to do. Boom, I get out of there, and that was that. So, I mean, these things happen. You know what I mean?
You're leaving out all the good stuff, the details.
No. I'm not. I don't want to sit here.
I think the statute of limitations is
run out. Yeah, I hear you. No, it's just... I don't want to be like that.
Save it for the book, yeah.
Right. No, I don't want to be that guy. So
sounds
here's
like you
the
were
point
that,
in telling
like you were that guy.
There are dangers in this business, okay? And I'm just talking about stuff outside the ring. Nevertheless, in the ring. I mean, you know, during the years of ECW, when they started throwing the chairs in the ring with Public Enemy, that amazing shot that other wrestling companies tried to copy, you know, of fans throwing the chairs in the ring, or stuff that Terry Funk, the great Terry Funk, has done, you know, at ECW and beyond. I mean, that stuff builds concern in the locker room because it's like, oh, God, it's cool and it's great, but, you know, I don't want to be working and somebody just chucks a chair and catches me in the back of the head and cracks my skull open.
Well, you know, it happened a few weeks ago. Roman Reigns got hit in the
ring.
That's
right. I was going to get to that.
A briefcase in the ring.
Whacked him in the head. That's right. And that's where I was going. But of course, you upcutted me. That's what you know.
I'm sorry. You triggered me. It's like you said, you triggered.
Yeah.
You triggered.
I should trigger you to find out the information that you're supposed to find out that I asked to find out about the Petrucci guy.
I Google that. I got like a construction guy in Asbury Park. he's doing work at the boss's house.
That could be him. You never know.
That's true. J.G. Petrucci.
What is it?
J.G. Petrucci.
No, I was like J.T. Petrucci. I can't remember. Somebody out there will
SD know. Special Delivery Jones.
Stop, dude. You're talking about people I personally know, and you're being condescending.
I'm not
you're
being condescending. You're saying J.T.
I mean,
SD.
Stop, bro. Don't.
I'm thinking of the guys that I know from back in the day.
Thank you. I'm taking a sip of my beverage.
Oh, go ahead. Have a sip of your beverage.
Thanks, Seth. So, anyways, so what happens is
I was looking
down. There's dangers here. There's dangers in the ring. You know, you hear. Look, most of you out there listen to this. You've listened to ring announcers before the show, especially at the bigger companies. They make announcements about if you'll be ejected from the building, subject to arrest, if you throw something in the ring, or you touch the performers, yada yada yada. And that stuff's a shoot. That stuff's the real deal. I mean, you know, if you try to go over that guardrail and you get past security and then you try to get in the ring, you know, once you get near that ring, you know, I got to tell you, you go over that guardrail, you're fair game. And it's like, you know, a performer is defending he or she self. And that's kind of what we're taught. I remember one time, dude, I was I was a commentator, you know, for SmackDown on WWE. And We were on the road all the time, obviously doing these SmackDown shows forever, and it was during I could have sworn it was Undertaker's entrance. It was a blackout. It was dark. I think it was Undertaker, and a fan jumped the ring. I would always sit there when the lights went out, and I would never look down at my paperwork or at the ring or my monitor. I'd look at the fans. Plus, I always was gun-shy from all my years in ECW because I've been there when, you know, certain wrestlers, without naming names, incited riots, you know, meaning that the heat was so heavy. I've been there where the ECW locker room, where we would empty the locker room and basically get in a knockdown drag-out with, like, 25 guys, fans. This happened more than once.
Are these fans out of their mind?
Well, we were nuts, too. I mean, so this happened a lot. If one of the boys got touched... I mean, we were out there. I mean, there were several of them that I missed because if I was on early, I'd do my thing and leave and go to the next town or whatever. But I wasn't there for all of them because I would leave the building just to get out, you know, because we were working a lot. And I got to tell you, you know, it happened a lot where during that era, fans would somehow get their hands on one of the boys in ECW, and then, you know, that whole crew we had, you know, those guys weren't playing games. You know, you're going to get hurt. You know what I mean?
Most pro wrestlers are
you're gonna hurt
animals.
They're going to hurt you badly.
Like you mentioned when you were talking to Al Dukes when we were doing the Taz Live, you said, you could punch me in the face, and I'm so used to being hit, I probably wouldn't.
Still, I'm 47 years old, and it wouldn't bother me. I'm not kidding you. I mean, unless you took a bat to my nose... or back of my skull, you got me. But to my, if I see it coming and I eat it, you know, yeah, you might break my nose, you might knock out a tooth or two, but it's gonna be. I'm not bragging just on me. Most of my brethren,
they're used to being hit.
Yeah, you build up a certain rigidness and a callus to your full body and your ability to absorb pain. You know, is your tolerance is a lot higher than the average Joe or Jane. You know what I mean?
That's why boxers spar. I mean,
absolutely.
Get ready for fights.
Absolutely.
You're getting used to getting hit.
That's exactly right. It's the same with us. So, you know, you're not really going to... What are you going to do?
Average guy like me is 160 pounds. How much am I really get behind a punch anyway?
No, true. I've seen a lot of...
to a 250-pound guy.
I've seen a lot of wrestlers backstage in, like, locker rooms. I've seen fist fights with guys get into it because of whatever issues. Very rarely do you see, like, an actual winner, and they don't last long, and... Because it's like you taught to kind of hurt each other, you know. I mean,
you get some famous ones, you know, as a fan and a mark, as you like to say, like the, you know, Paul Orndorff knocking out Vader is this famous.
But who
famous
was there? One. Who saw? You know, all these things.
They're like little folk tales at this point.
It's like all this exaggeration to stuff, and you don't know what was behind it. It's like when I had Van Damme on. We talked about what happened to me and Rob, which, you know, was totally blown out of proportion. And me and Rob talked about the whole situation. I mean, it was like, and it was like, within 20 minutes, it was squashed. I mean, and it was. People have opinions on things. I don't want to get into this topic now because we're talking about this other topic.
All right.
But it's cool. I mean, I get your point about folk tales, but that's a lot, not just wrestling, happens in a lot of stuff.
Fans love that stuff.
Yeah. You know?
I'm just saying, as a fan, we love to hear the backstage, the stuff, the, you know, the stuff that we're not privy to. We love to hear all that stuff.
No, and I respect that. I understand that. But, okay, now that you want to keep pushing the topic. So it's no, because you are. So it's like what just happened with Geno Smith. When IK, the linebacker, you know, punched him and knocked him out. Okay, so right away, everyone jumped to conclusions because the Jets fired the guy IK. He knocks out, and I'm sorry, he sucker punches Geno Smith. And it comes to truth, by the next day, people jumped to conclusions, everybody jumped to conclusions, and he didn't sucker punch him.
Right.
It wasn't a sucker punch. Okay, Geno Smith got in the guy's face. Okay, they had words, and you know, no matter what it was about, I guess, IK was owed money from Geno. And from the stories I heard on ESPN and all this stuff, was that he got in the face. Geno got in his face. So what are you going to do about it? You know, put his hand in his face.
Well, he did something about it.
If a guy cracks you, you're not getting sucker punched. You know, if IK walked right in and just went up to him, looked at him, and punched him in the face, that's a sucker punch.
Either way, though, you should be punching someone on
I agree with
on
you.
The job.
No, I agree.
Or really anywhere.
Or anywhere.
But, yeah.
Anywhere.
But
yeah.
You know, sometimes you get provoked.
Except here at CBS Corporate. I believe there should be more punching.
Oh, boy.
So anyway.
I'm in fear for my life every
so,
day.
So, no, I think you should go around and start punching people.
Me? I'm not punching anybody.
Who am I playing?
I hurt my hand. I got beautiful hands. I'm like a hand model.
This time. Seinfeld. This time with SmackDown, where the lights go, I think it was Undertaker's entrance. I'm sitting there looking around. I always look around at the front row. And front and second and third row. And sure enough, this one night, I think it was Green Bay, this guy jumps the guardrail and was just, usually the guys just want to, they're drunk or whatever, it's a dare from their friend, they want to get in the ring and do something. Just like put their hands in the air so people pop and they get tackled. They don't realize they actually get arrested. You know, and I've seen what happens backstage. Oh, yeah. And it's not pretty.
It's with the cops?
Sometimes before the cops get there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, security brings him back.
I saw her with Bam Bam Bigelow. I'll tell you that story in a second. So what happens is this guy jumps the guardrail, bigger guy. I see him, and he was going towards the ring. It was dark. It was the lights were out, and people were popping. I want to say it was Taker's entrance, but it might not have been. I'm sorry. I just can't remember. And I know that I, before he could even get in the ring, threw my headset down, sprinted in a nice suit, and just blindside tackled this guy. Hit him pretty good. Took him off his feet. You never saw me coming. I didn't hit him. I just tackled him, took him down, double-legged him. And
2 points.
Hooked his head and arm. And then before I could do anything else, I was just going to restrain him. That's all I was doing. WWE security was all over him, you know, and they arrested him.
Just instinct for you, right?
And because I knew, and I would always, you know, say to myself, if I would want someone to watch my back as a performer, especially if the lights were out. You know what I mean? The referee is also another guy who watches the wrestler's backs. You know, his eyes are, his head's on a swivel. He sees everything.
Now, speaking of watching back, you're an announcer. Is there security watching you guys back? Because your backs are to this crowd.
Absolutely. Yes, that's a building security guy that sits to when I was working there, to the right of me, where a color commentator would sit. And he would just watch the announce desk and just keep an eye on that. And also there's a stage manager that if people are behind you acting like idiots or trying to, which usually I got to be honest, I never really was. The only thing that would happen there was people would try to peek over and look at your notes to see the format sheet. One night I just took the format sheet and said, "Here, dude, here, look at it. You want me to spoil the whole show for you? You want to know what's coming up? You want to know who's wrestling in 4 segments? Here, take a look at it. here, take it. And the guy's like, no, I don't want it. I'm sorry. And, now, and his girlfriend's laughing at him. I punked him out. You know, like, here, take the freaking notes. You want to see him that bad here. You know, so it's like, here's the format sheet, the run sheet. You know, anyways, digressing. So, yeah, as a SmackDown announcer, that happened. There was a little tackling drill. And these things happen, and the dangers are real. And it's even like if you look at, okay, like I was just saying about Bam Bam Bigelow. The thing with Bam Bam, that was a unique situation. We were in a Falls Count Anywhere match, me and Bam Bam. I believe we were in Staten Island. It was a live event, a house show, at some big, like, indoor turf soccer complex. It was really weird. And there was a ton of people there at this event. For those listening, I know I got a lot of original ECW fans. You know what I'm talking about. This show, I don't remember the name of it. Ran there a couple times. It was, the crowds were great. But it just wasn't good to shoot TV because the audience wasn't elevated. So what happens is I'm fighting Bam Bam all over the building. And Bam Bam's from Jersey. So Staten Island's only a stone throw away from Jersey. So he had his family, had his kids there and stuff. One of his youngest sons, I can't recall the young man's name. At the time, he was probably 8 years old, something like that. You know, there were fans following us around as we were fighting all over the building.
And you guys were a great match, too.
Thank you. Yeah, Bam Bam was, it was all him. He was easy to work with. He was the pro. I followed his lead. And what happens is, some guys, they were probably like in their early 20s, you know, was getting excited in the altercation and pushes Bam Bam's son, like, out of the way and knocks the kid down. Kid rolled and, like, almost got hurt. Well, Bam Bam spotted it. We ended the match. We go backstage. Bam Bam's going absolutely crazy. Talent security pointing the guy out. His kid's backstage crying. He was okay, the kid, but he was just terrified and scared.
Shaking up, yeah.
And then they were looking for the guy. They found the guy because, you know, they were going to call the cops on the guy. And then they introduced this man to Bam Bam Bigelow backstage.
Oh, God.
With that, we will go to a break now. And
so we just use our imagination from there?
So,
man, that would not be a place I'd want to be. I'd be like doing the...
Dude, it was like he was in a blender. Oh. I mean, it was swift and not fun.
Oh.
And I'm like, we're ready.
I just wet myself.
But anyway, there's dangers to this, man. And that's all I wanted to talk about. There's dangers to this business. Fans out there, be smart. You know, go to the shows. Have a great time. Get into the action. Yell and curse at the guys all you want. Okay, don't throw nothing in the ring. Don't touch the guys or the gals. You know, don't drink too much at these events. Have a good time with your boys or your girls. Have fun. But don't do something where you're going to get arrested or going to get yourself put in the hospital. You know, and it's like, you know, It's serious consequence. You know, we're out there performing, and we're trusting the audience. You know, you are part of the show too, but you got to keep your boundaries and stay on the other side of the guardrail and don't throw nothing in the ring. Don't. That's just a no-no. That's a coward thing. That's just, you know, it's like no one could find you, but now with TV and all these cameras everywhere, they're going to find you. Even these independent shows have cameras everywhere. So don't be stupid. You know what I mean?
Hey,
Seth, I'm talking directly to you, actually.
It's too late for me. But you just reminded me of something that happened over the weekend at a Yankee game. Yankees were playing Atlanta Braves.
Yes.
And one of the fans fell off the upper deck and died. Guys,
I know.
60-year-old
oh my God, horrible.
Season ticket holder. And they said he got up out of his chair when A-Rod was up and to scream. You know, everybody likes to scream, yell at A-Rod.
Yeah, A-Rod, yeah.
Yeah, and he fell. And it's just... I mean, it just reminded me of that, the fact that, you know, fans can yell and scream and everything. You know, just remember, this is sports is all sports is entertainment, not just sports entertainment.
It's exactly.
Like, enjoy. It's fun to just don't get out of control. Like,
yeah, you can't. And,
you know, and don't kill someone to get a baseball. It's just a baseball.
No,
you know?
I agree. It's you know,
it's just so sad.
It is sad. I've been to enough
tragic,
you know, football games or baseball games, dude. You know, and I gotta say, thank God, but I'm surprised that doesn't happen more because you see people sitting on the edge so high up in mezzanine spots, and you're like, God, man, it's this
steep.
You could fall over that thing, over that wall with no problem.
And drinking.
Drinking a lot.
Yeah, Upper Deck and drinking, that's not a good combination.
No, no. I sit on my floor in my den. I can't drink without falling. I'm on the floor, bro, sitting down. Like Indian, crisscross applesauce.
Crisscross will make you jump.
So that's it. That's the dangers. Dangers involved. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back, talk a little bit about what's on the horizon and some more little tidbits about the Taz Show coming at you live daily, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern on Play It or at TazShow.com. That's going to debut September 14th. So sit tight. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. All right, look, we'll take a quick break. I'll be right back. I got to smack a few people around over here on the 44th floor at CBS. So I'll be right back. All right, we know it's that time that you got to talk about my crew, my boys over at DraftKings, because it's basically just around the corner. The NFL season's here. All the preseason games are going. Camp is rocking and rolling. There's a lot going on, and you could start your season by winning $2 million in week one of DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. Seth, I know you're big into DraftKings.
I love DraftKings. DraftKings was all over SummerSlam yesterday.
Yeah, it was. I was very impressed. Yeah, it's one-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. It's like a brand-new season every time you play. You just pick your players, pile up the points, pick up your cash, that's it, you're good.
And if you want to win $2 million, do not draft Jordy Nelson. Jordy, unfortunately, tore his ACL, and that really sucks for fantasy guys and DraftKings guys.
I get my fantasy, a lot of my fantasy advice from Professor Vegas, Mike Tenay, who's a big DraftKings guy also.
And he's a good friend of yours, that's why.
Of course.
But now, everyone can get that advice from Professor Vegas.
Yes, that's right. And
download the show.
And you got to get on, if you get on that advice, from Professor Vegas, also from DraftKings. So, look, you've already been scouting players for your season-long fantasy team, right? You know what you want to do. You got your crew. You're all set. I guess so. Put that knowledge to the test every week this football season at DraftKings.com, where you can turn your love into football for a lifetime of cash. So, look, hurry to DraftKings.com right now and use the code TAZ to play for free, guys. That's code TAZ, Taz, to play for free for a shot at $2 million in week one millionaire maker, baby. Enter TAZ, Taz, for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com. All right, we are back right here on the Human Podcast Machine, and during the quick break, Seth, you did your homework, I'm proud of you. AJ Petrucci, that was the correct name, that's the name, bro. 1985 World Wrestling Federation. See, I'll tell you what, man, I didn't realize this until you wrote down some notes for me. He broke in Orange, Connecticut. Now, I know that school. It was a wrestling school in Orange, Connecticut, and it was ran, Tony Altomare ran it, and then I believe, I'm 90% sure this Dr. D. David Schultz was not him. Maybe it was him. Because I almost went to that school before I went to Johnny Rogers' school, because Orange, Connecticut, it's far from me, but not that far. Whatever. So, A.J. Petrucci, I didn't know this either, you know, and thanks to your notes, trained his cousin to be a wrestler, Gene Schnitzky.
Schnitzky?
Yeah, you know Schnitzky, Big Schnitzky.
Is it Schnitzky?
He's my friend. I call him whatever I want.
All right. He's Schnitzky. Schnitzky.
Yeah, how about you? You're Nitz, period. Nitz. How about that? So, anyway, so Petrucci, I'm going to be putting you over, and you're going to sit here and start correcting my dictation? Is that what you're doing?
I just I like it. I like the way you say it. Hey. You know, do you know the last time we've seen Schnitzky? You know what he's doing?
No.
He's bodyguard for A-Rod. when A-Rod was rehabbing, he was playing some games in Trenton, double A baseball.
I didn't know that.
He was doing some
well,
security.
One of the nicest guys, big enough to do that. One of the nicest guys you ever met is Gene Snitsky, for sure. But I didn't know that Petrucci was his cousin. That's who broke him in. But I know, Gene is from that area of the country, too. That area of Pennsylvania, I should say. That Altoona area and that over there in that area over there. I could have sworn that A.J. Petrucci was announced from Allentown. Maybe it was Allentown, not Altoona. I'm all over the map with this.
Somewhere in Pennsylvania.
I'm obsessed with A.J. Petrucci right now. But
nice.
I go off on a tangent. So the Taz
show.
Get
him on the Taz show.
The Taz show. The Taz show.
Get A.J. the first day.
The Taz show on the internet. So the Taz show.
On the internet.
So here's the deal. So talked about last week, dropped the announcement about good old JR, Jim Ross from the old Ross Report. He will have a segment on the show every Friday on, what do you call it? Right here on the Taz show, what I say, once we go live, rock and
awesome.
Rolling. Yeah, no, very excited about it. And JR and I talked, worked it out. It's very cool. So you like JR. You're down with JR, right?
Who doesn't like JR?
Everybody likes him. Of course, everybody likes him.
He's the man. JR is the man. I mean, he's the top, he's the top guy.
Yes.
He's the number one. He's the number one play-by-play guy in the history of wrestling.
Well, when we do our fantasy draft edition with Mike Tenay, you could tell Mike that and see what Mike thinks. But anyway,
Mike's a humble guy. I think Mike would actually agree. Him and JR are tight. They did a two-part special.
I know,
on
bro.
JR's
those two
show.
Guys, they could talk forever. Forget about it. I mean, those two guys. I feel bad for the microphones. You got to get more batteries. So the other thing is, I'm really excited about the JR thing because the segment it's going to be cool. We got the name for the segment. We didn't announce that yet, right? The name. We're not going to do that.
Don't say it.
It's going to be cool. It's going to be cool. I talked about we're going to talk football with it and stuff. We did talk about that. It's going to be cool, though. It's going to be fun. Anything topical wrestling, we'll get JR's viewpoints on at that time.
Maybe even bring a few phone calls in, too.
We'll see. Yeah. Maybe. I mean,
maybe not.
Maybe not. So the thing is, there will be an announcement for those listening right now on this Wednesday show about something else that's going to happen in the Taz show, which will be breaking news, something that I think you guys will like, an additional segment in the body of the new Taz show that will debut September 14th. Daily, live, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern on Play It or TazShow.com. Or on radio.com, different, any other platforms I'm missing that you could find the audio and video to this thing?
You're covering all of them. We're going to
For those, Seth, do me a favor. For those, you're very savvy technically, obviously, and with social media, and not just social media, but with your phone and what you travel a lot on public transportation. So
I do.
You listen to a lot of different podcasts and audio and music and stuff, and you're a big app guy. Walk people through this that want to hear the Taz show every day, that aren't familiar how to listen to it. You always get this. How do I listen to it in my car? How do I listen to it on my phone? Tell people how they're going to do this.
Let's start with the phone. For the phone, you want to have the radio.com app. And on that app, on the menu, there'll be a podcast. You can click on podcast, and that takes you to play.it, where you'll be able to listen to Taz live. And as well as there'll be links on radio.com as well. So if you get the radio.com app, you'll be set to go. You'll be able to find the Taz show
very
easily.
And you can play that through your aux probably on your car, right?
Or through Bluetooth as well.
Oh, Bluetooth. Yeah, I didn't think of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, now, podcast, interesting word.
It is an interesting word.
Because this new venture, this is not a podcast.
No.
It's a show. It's a digital audio show, or audio and video show, just a digital show. That will podcast immediately following the show.
Correct.
Daily. But you could say that about any show. You could say that, like we talk about Boomer Carton. They have a podcast. It's their show podcast every day.
They segment it out, though. The difference is we'll have our full show. It'll be one track.
Okay, to make life easy on the producer. Who is that?
No, if you want to, hey, we want to break it out, we can break it out.
I'm joking, dude. Relax, calm down. All right, so don't be so hypersensitive. I hate people who are hypersensitive. I hate that.
You know we got to learn to have a thick skin like Taz.
Yeah.
Thickest skin ever.
Yeah, I know. Anyway.
Oh, boy.
So,
this coffee's not hot enough.
No, see, that's why people think that I'm always in a bad mood, I'm always angry, and that's not true.
Because, it's not?
Because you guys like you read that on the internet years ago.
Whoa. I've been working with you since November. I didn't have to read Jack S. Well, can I still curse? We're still doing podcasts. We're not going to curse, though, on the show.
Jeez.
Jack Listen, Sugar.
I am not. Look. I'm not.
You're passionate. You're a passionate guy. You're Italian.
Yes. I look, it's not like I'm Kanye West out here saying I'm going to run for president and cut a 50-minute promo on whatever show he was on.
What did he keep saying over and over again?
Yeah, what did he say? He said, I'm confused, bro, something like that. Yeah. No, wait. It was
he's such a jackass.
It was something like that. What is this deal? He said run for president?
Oh, please.
I didn't see
that. You know, because Donald Trump's a TV star, and he's actually running, so now everybody else thinks they can run. Just like when Jesse Ventura was governor and Hulk Hogan was going to run for president, because if Ventura could be governor, he'll be president.
Speaking of Hulk Hogan, dude, how about that? I mean, it's like, you know, he's apparently, I guess it was today, we've been working, but I think he was on Good Morning America this morning.
He's
doing like a whole tour to give his side of the story.
Yeah, I think I love
Hulk, and I respect what he's done in his history, and talk about a trailblazer, and nothing but respect for his body of work, but what happened, and unfortunately, when he was in the privacy of a bedroom, was caught saying, and I covered that here, you know, it's going to be tough to come back from that. I hope he can, but I don't know how, unless you just, you know, flat out apologize. Now, he might have done that. I don't know what he said on Good Morning America, but, you know, Kanye West.
I don't understand it, bro.
Bruh?
I don't understand it, bro. I don't understand it, bro.
Story of my life. I don't understand it either, bro.
I don't understand it either. I can tell you who I'm not voting for in 2020.
Hillary.
That's one.
Trump.
Maybe.
Interesting.
No, I'm talking about 2020.
Kanye's going to be 2020?
2020.
Oh, all right. I didn't know that.
Kanye said he announced his president candidacy for 2020.
Oh, jeez. I don't understand the God.
What party is that going to run under?
Jiminy Crickets. Hopefully he's still around doing music by then. Who knows? But he's a pretty big star, Kanye, and he's got the wife there, the Kardashian girl.
Yeah.
So,
Caitlyn Jenner's stepdaughter.
Oh, boy. On that note, can't follow that. Hope you guys enjoyed this edition of the Human Podcast Machine and had a lot of fun dropping this for you here. Thank you, Seth, for jumping on, doing your thing.
Thank you.
Whatever
for
that
me.
Was. And thanks for all the extra work you put into the show, Seth. You're the man. I mean, you're just great.
I'm waiting for the punchline.
No, you are the punchline.
But
okay, yeah. I don't need to have a pun. You are the punchline. And that's the dealio. So, look, we will be back dropping another show, Fantasy Draft Edition, Current Wrestlers. And I want to talk about that real quick. Sorry, Current Wrestlers, just quick deal on that. It's just an update on what we did. I know, Seth, this is a big thing to you. Calm down. I'll let you talk in a minute. You right away, you went to do something technically. Then you heard me talk about that. You slid your little silly-ass chair to the microphone. Calm down.
This is all true.
Okay, yeah, it is true. So, yeah. Okay, Seth, say it. We're going to update the Current Wrestlers. Tell them why.
Well, because someone actually tweeted, as we don't like to single out one tweet, but like, didn't you do that already? I was like, yeah, 7 months ago. I was like, our lists are going to be completely different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. Exactly different. You heard the man. That's right. So anyway, we're going to do that on Wednesday. Mike Tenay will be a guest jumping on Fantasy Draft Edition. It would never be a Fantasy Draft Edition correctly without the professor on that bad boy, whose podcast is doing great, by the way. I highly suggest you listen to that. Professor Vegas Sports Betting Podcast. Is his title long enough on that thing? You guys need to shorten that title.
We're going to work on it. It's Professor Vegas. I refer to him as Professor Vegas. Actually, thank you, Mike. You helped me with my draft last night. Thank you very much. Right,
we'll talk about that on Wednesday, dude, do the fantasy draft show. Because I have a lot of I have fantasy football draft questions, comments, suggestions I need to ask and say and point at Mike today. But you just can't help but upcut yourself.
All I said was thank you.
Now, just don't talk.
Okay.
All right, so look, that's that. All right, look, so thanks for downloading and subscribing and checking out this edition of the show. We'll be back on Wednesday. Don't forget, Taz Live coming at you soon, September 14th, live daily, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern on playitradio.com, tazshow.com. You can find it there. The video will drop a little bit after the 14th, and you'll get to see my pretty face along with Seth running around and some crazy cast of characters here at CBS Radio. I'm Taz, for Seth, you're not. See you.